section of Scripture that helps us really set the tone to avoid so much of the misconcept of what the Holy Spirit really does and does not do in our lives today. And we'll talk about that. Because as we close out the book of John, get into Acts chapter 22, and then we begin to watch the early church and its progression in the first century, we're going to get a very valuable lesson on the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works and what He does today and what He did back then, and how that sets the tone to us being able to interpret the Scriptures in a way that we can have faith in knowing that we read it, it's there, I see it, and I believe it. Because that's what's taught in the Scriptures. And that's what we want to build our faith on. Now remember, if you will, we began that study on Wednesday night by talking about the Messiah looking at His disciples in the upper room and making a statement, "Let not your hearts be troubled." In a plainer language, He was saying, stop being troubled over about what's about to take place. Now, to their defense, they really, at this point, had not fully wrapped their minds around what was in the near future for their leader. They just could not vision His body hanging on that cross. They could not envision in their minds its finished. The last thing they could envision was taking that body down and placing it in a tomb.
Yeah, they couldn't envision what was about to happen to them.
No. So that's a good point, Charles. You can see why they didn't understand what was going to happen to the Lord, because they didn't know what was going to happen to them.
Well, with Him being the Messiah and all the miracles they seen performed, they thought there could be another way, you know, that He could just make something happen without having to suffer.
I guess so.
I mean, I'm assuming.
But and remember the prophetic statement made by Zechariah when we went through that particular study. They're going to strike the shepherd, and the sheep are going to scatter. And that is exactly, as Charles pointed out, that's what lied ahead. And here's old Peter saying, not me. Oh, no, not old Peter. I'm not going anywhere. And even going so far as to draw a sword out in the garden. So you can kind of see what's going on. But He sets the tone by saying, look, don't let your heart be troubled. And then He goes on to say that if He leaves, He's going to return again. And in His Father's house, there are going to be many places that will have room for them when He comes back together. And then remember, we closed out in verse 6 with a different tone of language, a stronger tone of language than He really had ever spoken before. You know, leading up to this point, it had been He and the Father. But look at this language. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, and the life. Now, what does that tell us in simple terms?
No other way.
It's Him and His way, or no other way.
The only way.
The only way. Remember what Paul told the Christians in those Galatian churches as he began the Galatian epistle? Now remember, these are churches that he established in his missionary efforts. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the gospel of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. And there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. You see what he was doing? He was emphasizing the truth of what Jesus said right here. Those of you that want to know how to get in my kingdom, he said, I'm the way. My truth is the truth. Now, we don't have any right, remember what they were doing back in Galatia? Perverting the truth. How were they trying to pervert it? They were trying to convince the New Testament Christians. Oh, look, you need to mix a little of this old law over into the new. You need to kind of circumcise your mate. And you need to remember a lot of these feast days and include that, entwine that into the New Testament church. Now look at us today, no different. We're just including different things. Some go back and said, I want me some instruments like old David had. So they fill up the building with all kind of different instruments. And oh, they have some beautiful entertainment going on. But not what the Bible says. They want what the Bible said plus some more. And we could go on and on talking about things. Some will say, well, you know, we want to worship on Sabbath like the Jews. And we don't want to worship on the first day of the week. We want Saturday is our time of worship. Something like that, right and right. So you see, we need to kind of have this emblazoned in our mind. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the only life that you're going to have eternally is through me. How was that possible? Because you see, he was lying, waiting for the cross. All of this had to take place on the cross to bring about his Father's will. Now we're going to pick up, and we're going to pick up in verse 7. And we'll look at a few verses here through verse 11. 7 through 11. If you had known me. Now remember when we started our study on the book of John, we said we really needed to watch John's book on the Gospel of John. John's books that he wrote later on, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He used some language that we really need to be aware of. It's called continuous action, point action. Sometimes it was just a pointed statement. But so often his language was continuous. If you had known me, and in essence, if you keep on knowing me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Now, notice also, it's interesting to kind of delve into this word know. Because these people, remember, had been with him how long?
3 years.
3 years. So they should have known because they have observed him in action for over 3 years. They had seen him perform miracles. Heard him teach lessons, use parables. They had had a lot of special information by observing for the last 3 years. And here they were still. And then they had known by reflection. I mean, look, it's one thing for us to sit at the feet of tremendous teachers in our life. And oh, I've been so blessed to have known so many. But look at what we're talking about here. They had been under the influence and the teaching of the master teacher. As Brother Robert Taylor would say, the prince of preachers for over 3 years. And their mind still wasn't focused. Still wasn't right. So they had known by observation and they had known by reflection. And then he goes on to say, have I been so long a time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? What do you think Philip really meant when he said, show us the Father?
I think he was looking for some kind of proof, for factual proof.
Okay, some factual proof.
I think he wanted to see something physical. You know,
okay.
Like, show us this person.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that? Can you think of an example that would be somewhat between what you said and David said from a biblical perspective that they could have been thinking about? What did God allow Moses to see on the mount?
He saw the backside.
The backside of himself. You know, rather than say these people were just so weak spiritually, you think they might have been thinking, well, Philip was maybe thinking, well, you know, they helped old Moses. He was up on the mountain and God allowed him to see the backside. Here Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, they could not wrap their minds around him being in their fleshly presence. the spiritual side of things.
Sounds like they couldn't understand the Trinity.
Yeah, right. So, that may have been what Philip was thinking. It may not have been. Maybe they were wanting an example like Moses had back on the mountainside. But you see, they had the Son of God with them. They had the Son of God with them for 3 years. And he had been telling them all the time through his teachings, through his parables, and through his miracles. I'm God come in the flesh. And I've come to do my Father's will. And it's going to require me dying on the cross of Calvary. But they could not see it. Now, should that shock us? I think not. Because there are a lot of religious groups today. Some acknowledge Christ as a really great prophet, but they deny that he's deity. And Jesus said, I am the way. If you don't believe that he's deity, what's the conclusion of that?
Not the way.
The other way you don't want. The other way you don't want to experience that will not just step up and say, he was God in the flesh. They cannot bring that from their lips. And yet the Bible says, that is exactly what and who he was. Now notice, if you will, verse 10. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. What's he saying here?
Well, if you can't believe that the Father's in him and he's in the Father, at least by the miracles I've done, you ought to believe it.
Right. Yeah. You know, if you don't believe me because I say it, I tell you, you've been with me. You've seen my miracle. Believe it because of the miraculous events that have transpired in my life. Now notice, if you will, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. We got to know who he's talking to. Who's he talking to? His apostles, his disciples. Future apostle. And what is he telling them?
They're going to achieve more than he achieved.
How would you like to be in their seats now? How would you have liked to have been there? Oh, isn't it easy for us to point our finger at him? I just can't believe they were with him 3 years. But then now, he's telling them, I've got to go. I'm going to die. And I've got to die for the Comforter to come. If I don't die, the Comforter can't come. If I don't die, you can't do greater works than I did. Now, how are they going to be able to do greater works than he did? He was God in the flesh.
Well, by the Holy Spirit, and also the church is going to come into existence, and the people are going to be added to the church.
Absolutely. Now, take into consideration, fast forward a few days. Jesus is going to die. They're going to put him in that borrowed tomb. And God is going to roll away the stone, and he's coming out. And he's going to spend 40 days with his people and these disciples. How many was it? Do anybody remember?
More than 500.
Yeah. About 500.
I don't know if that includes the ones that came out of the grave or not. There were some that came out of the grave, right?
Yeah.
After his resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah. Now take into consideration, fast forward about 50 days to the next Pentecost. Peter's going to stand up, preach that first gospel sermon. 3,000 souls are going to respond to heaven's invitation. They're going to repent of their sins. They're going to be immersed in water. They're going to be born again. And the Lord's going to add those people to his kingdom, his church, his body. By the time we get to chapter 4 of Acts, there's going to be another 5,000 men respond. Don't you imagine they're looking back and said, "Oh, buddy, I see it now. I see what the Lord was talking about when he said we were going to do greater works than he." But it had to take his death on the cross and his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven. And him sitting down at the right hand of God on David's throne, being king of his kingdom, head of his body, the church, for this to become a reality. Any questions or comments before we go any further? Notice also, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Remember now, who's he talking about?
He's talking about the Holy Spirit.
He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is he talking to? His disciples. Now, if someone tells you today, God spoke to me and told me to tell you this, and it contradicts the Word of God, what can you rest assured of?
Wrong.
He's wrong. Somebody may have spoke to him.
Even if it doesn't contradict, he still didn't speak to him.
That's right, Charles. Even if he doesn't. may have been somebody speaking to him, but it's a big capital S in front of his name, and it's Satan, not God. Because God does not speak to us in strange, mysterious ways today. And there's still people teaching that they do that. Well, God told me to tell you this. Common in the religious world. Always remember. Remember when we started studying together? I said, anytime you read the Bible, begin to ask some questions. Who? What? When? Where? How? Know where you're reading. Is it the patriarchal system? Mosaical system? Christian system? We've got members of the church who will look you in the eye today and tell you, we're not under law. We're under grace. Well, what did James mean when he said we've got the perfect law of liberty? The New Testament is the law of Christ, beginning in Acts, ending in the Revelation.
That's right.
So, yes, indeed. We've got law. And what do you think he meant when he said the world cannot know the Spirit? Why could the world not know it?
Ways
of the world, not his ways. But what other way could he not know? Could the world not know? Pardon?
Because they don't know him.
Okay, they don't know him. Why?
They don't want to.
They don't want to?
Well, the Spirit was going to move on the apostles. Was going to move on them, but everybody was not going to have the same
okay.
thing the apostles had.
All right. Now then, let's go there. The Holy Spirit was going to be with the apostles. The Holy Spirit was going to teach the apostles what to say and what to write down. What was the world going to deny? What does the world deny? Christ, His Word, and the Gospel. If you deny the Gospel, the Word of God, how can you know the Holy Spirit? How can you know His Father? How can you know His Son? You can't. You see why it's so important to spend time reading the Bible, studying the Bible, knowing the Bible? You see why our experience with COVID fell right into the old devil's playbook. Because what did it do? It stopped people from meeting. It stopped people from studying. It even brought a doubt to many. And when we don't gather together, we lose the fellowship that is a part of New Testament Christianity.
Yep.
I can't believe it. A lot of them were saying that and teaching that it was some kind of punishment for God.
Yeah. That is so true. Now notice as we go a little bit further. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live. You shall live also. Now, how are they going to see him?
Through the Word, the Holy Spirit.
through the work of the Holy Spirit. They're even going to see him literally during that 40-day span of time that God raises them from the dead. And he's still preparing them to wait in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. But I think in reality what he's saying here is, you're going to see me, as Harold said, through the Word of God. And you're going to see me at the last day when I come back and I judge the world through the Word that the Holy Spirit is going to leave behind. Now we go a little bit further. At that day you'll know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I love him and will manifest him to himself. Judas saith unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You see how they were still thinking earthly, physically? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he'll come unto him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things have I spoken unto you. But the Comforter, y'all come on in, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things. So notice, if you will, as we close out chapter 14, we'll pick up Wednesday night on chapter 15, but he's explaining to his disciples, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is coming. He's going to be your guide, and he's going to direct you, and you're going to do greater things than you've ever seen me do physically during my earthly ministry in yourself. Any questions or comments before we stop?